Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. And a lot on slate for the show today. But the Packers get a 34-31 win in Dallas. Send Jerry Jones and his Cowboys packing. Boy, you know, if you're a Cowboy fan or if you're the Cowboys, you just don't want to see the Packers. In 2010, they run up the score against Wade Phillips. He's fired the next week. Then they go win the championship in Dallas. In 2014, the Packers, after that season in the playoffs, and now they take care of the Cowboys in Dallas. And the highest, the Cowboys, shoot him up and send him home. Let's hear this, the other Cowboy sound effect, too. I like that one. Oh, yeah, that's more horses. I like that. Feel good. The highest divisional round rating in 20 years, the Packers and the Cowboys. Higher than Game 7 of the World Series, the ratings on that. Highest since the Panthers and Cowboys in 1997. Mason Crosby, unbelievable. 23 consecutive postseason field goals. That's an NFL record. And the Packers really put on a show. So now they face the Atlanta Falcons, who had a big win against Seattle in Atlanta last week. Let's hear from Clay Matthews on Atlanta's offense.
Matt is having a MVP caliber year. Their running backs are both studs, being able to, you know, take it outside the tackles as well as run inside. Julio's been dominating this league since he got in it. So they got a number of playmakers up and down the board. So I think rather than just focus on one area, I think it's their entire offense is what drives that team. It's about stopping the run and getting after the quarterback, and that's, you know, it's not going to be any different this week. Freeman is he's run for a quiet 1,000 yards, I think the best 2 years, and Coleman, I believe that's his last name, was injured the first time we saw him, and he's got some exceptional speed. And then on top of that, you know, like I just said, you put the ball in Matt Ryan's hand, and he can find his receiver, especially when they spread out and empty personnel and take advantage of those mismatch on linebackers, DBs, whatever it is. They do a fantastic job.
Tight end Jared Cook came up big with a big catch late in the game that set the Packers up for the game-winning field goal. Here's tight end Jared Cook on growing up in Georgia.
It's just kind of being looked at as the next game, and that's how we're taking it, and that's what we're focused on. We've already played there once this year. A little different outcome than we wanted, but it was just another game.
Did you go to the Georgia Dome a lot growing up?
Yeah. One of my friend's dads used to play with the Falcons, so we used to go to a lot of games growing up.
Who's that?
Scott Case. Those guys are taking their time to get right for us, and we need all hands on deck, and we need all those guys to be ready. So whatever they need to do this week to get ready, and let them do it. So it's important that we have everybody ready for Aaron and for us as tight ends to be able to click on full cylinders, and hopefully everybody will be up and everybody will be healthy.
His play is pretty exciting, though. More exciting than his interview. Now Jordy Nelson talks about his injury and the pain he experienced when he got that hit in the Giants game. He did practice without pads this week. We're hoping he's a go. Here's Jordy Nelson.
Our docs are great. They take care of us, and so they'll look into that and make sure it's safe to go out there, and then we'll take the next step. First is to get over there to see what was going on after we found out that they were broken here. And and then they can make you feel very comfortable in a bed. So we decided to stay there. And I mean, by the time we got everything done, it was late at night, and it was just easier to stay the night. And so they did, you know, if I wanted to, I could have went home, but I was comfortable, and it was just easier to stay there instead of try to move and everything.
How much, I mean, you were on the sideline there, face down, and how much, can you give us an idea of just how much pain you were in?
No,
I've never seen you like that before.
I've never been like that before. It's the worst pain I've ever felt, so hopefully it doesn't happen again.
And Packers coach Mike McCarthy talks about the receiver injuries. They don't know the whole lineup yet or who's going to play and who isn't at receiver. We do know Davante Adams will play, but here's McCarthy.
Don't really have enough information right now. I mean, because obviously Devontae's injury happened Sunday, so did Geronimo's. So we're going to give him the whole week, I mean, just because of the timing of it. So I'm not really concerned today, because you have to put the plan in. I mean, it's, you know, we're not sure how we're going to line up or who's going to line up. So we'll hopefully have a better gauge if we think these guys are going to make it. And I don't think they'll really go until Saturday. So we just have to, you know, do like we always have, get Trevor ready. You know, obviously Randall and Jeff are the three focal points.
So it is the Packers and the Falcons. Also, we've got the New England Patriots against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've got Dan Lynn, correspondent in Atlanta, coming up next, along with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting. Intern for SRN, Josh Sclair, going to join us. Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline Network and our professor of sports, John Poulter from Toronto. All coming up on the Sports Report. Hang on.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081.
Hi, Packer Dave. This is Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Packers. I know you know a lot about the Packers, but let me hang on to the job for a few more years before you take over, okay?
Wayne Larrabee, one of the best in the business. We're glad to have him. Stole him from the Bears, actually. He was the Bears play-by-play guy for a long time until the Packers picked him up after Jim Irwin hung it up as the Packers radio play-by-play guy. I'm Packer Dave. Now we bring in from Chicago, Steve Leventhal. And Steve, welcome to the Sports Report. What did you think of those two games last week, especially, well, I'm saying the two teams, Atlanta and Green Bay, and the games they played in, Atlanta defeating Seattle. But the Packers, big win against the Cowboys. A lot of fun, huh?
Oh, those games were great. And again, you know, the Green Bay Packers have the momentum. You know, there's no getting around it. They are on a roll. They
absolutely do. Okay, Steve, now we have our fine intern at the helm here with the program, Josh Sclair. Josh, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, and tell everybody where you're from and all that kind of good stuff.
I am from northern suburbs of Chicago.
The school, Josh.
I go to DePaul University currently.
We really don't care about where you live and if you have a cat. Okay, and Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting, of course, with us here, as you heard him as we started the segment off. And now we bring in from Atlanta. He covers sports for SiriusXM, Fox Sports Radio, and this week SRN Broadcasting. He will be the correspondent in Atlanta. His name is Dan Lynn. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Now, the Atlanta Falcons last week, they beat the Seattle Seahawks, and the defense played very well against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Were you expecting that kind of performance out of the defense, first off, Dan?
Well, they're a lot better than people realize. They've only given up 20 points in three out of the last four games, I believe. And you got a couple of rookies that really made an impact, Deion Jones and Keanu. They've really done well. And also Beasley has 15.5 sacks. Nobody thought that was coming this year. And you have a lot of people here who wanted Gurley as the draft pick instead of Beasley, and it looks like they were wrong. And we're pretty proud of that guy right now.
Okay, very good. Josh, you want to chime in? Come on, let's go. What do you got? He's sleeping, Steve. He's sleeping on the job. Okay, first thing, when you're going to be on the air, you be ready to go. And, Steve, by the way, you're not so good at that either. There's always a major pause when I go to you. You got a lot of work to do either. But, Josh, we got Atlanta, Green Bay. You've got a correspondent from Atlanta who's going to be at the game. What do you have to offer here?
I wanted to ask you how much of an impact do you think not having Jordy Nelson in the game is going to make an impact despite the fact they won last week?
I think the DBs can keep up with them. I think the question is for Green Bay to keep up with our running backs. They had total all-purpose yards for both Coleman and Freeman, 2,523 yards and 23 touchdowns. That's the X factor. Because you got two running backs that are as good as any receiver, and that linebackers just can't keep up with them.
Did you see, Josh, how Dan did the old switcheroo on you there? You asked him a question about Jordy Nelson, and he automatically turned it into how his receivers were going to perform. See, that's pretty slick, Dan. Okay, that's pretty good.
I saw that one. I caught that.
I don't know how Jordy Nelson's going to. You know, how he's going to do this week. You know, he's coming off an injury, and that was a pretty severe hit he took.
Yeah, so Josh, I don't know that okay Jordy Nelson is not going to play, okay? I mean, as right now, that's still up in the air. Now, we know Davante Adams is going to play, and we're pretty certain that Geronimo Allison is going to also play. So, but I think Trevor Davis, one of their rookie draft choices this year for the Packers, speedster, we'll be seeing some action for Green Bay. Receiving core kind of banged up for the Packers. Okay, let's continue with the Falcons. So, Josh, you know, that was all right. But pick up the performance. And
thank you, Teach.
One thing I would tell you, you're not going to learn anything from Steve. Okay? So he can get you fired. He can get you credentialed, but that's about it. Okay, Russell Wilson, only 225 yards, I believe, last week. And the defense of the Seahawks seemed to get a little bit frustrated at the end of the game there, especially Michael Bennett. People are expecting 60-plus points in this game overall between the Packers and Atlanta. What does the defense have to do to limit Green Bay to the kind of point production that Seattle had last week? Dan.
What does Green Bay have to do to... I'm sorry, I didn't get the question.
Okay, don't listen to Dan either, Josh. He's not... Okay, stay with me, Dan. What do the Falcons have to do to limit the Packers' offense to the kind of point production the Seahawks had last week, which was only 20 points?
They're going to have to get a rush off the ends from Feeney and Beasley. They're just going to have to put pressure on the quarterback. And I know with Green Bay's line, that's going to be really tough. They have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
Okay, Steve, your turn.
Wow, you're going to have to throw the ball a lot. What do you want to do?
See the pause there? Steve was not ready. He was looking around the room. This is awful, people. I should just do this whole segment myself. All right, Steve, what do you have on the game? Please.
What do I have on Steve? The game? I think you're going to see a lot of passing. The real question is which Green Bay team is going to be there, the one that's rattled off all these wins in a row that has a lot of momentum. Will Atlanta be able to rise to the occasion, like you said, play defense like they did against Seattle? And then Green Bay has a lot of weapons, but their receivers are banged up. What Green Bay doesn't necessarily have is a huge running game, other than Ty Montgomery and your big fullback. So the question is, how is
what's
Green Bay going to control the ball offensively?
What's the big fullback?
Something that ends in SKI.
Ripkowski. Now, Josh, did you see how Steve, once he got a little rattled there, and so he's really speedy in his delivery.
I saw
you know,
that.
You got to, you can't get rattled in this game. You got to maintain composure. Okay. Dan Lynn with us, and he'll be covering the game for SRN Broadcasting in Atlanta. This will be the last game at the Georgia Dome. I was lucky enough to take in two Super Bowls there, Dan. I saw the Cowboys beat the Bills there after the 93 season. Then I saw the Rams and the Titans Super Bowl there, where the Titans almost pushed it to overtime, but that tackle by Mike Jones at the end, keeping them 1 yard from the goal line. Now, what's it going to be like not being at games there, and are you looking forward to the new stadium? I'm sure you are.
It's like a diamond next to one that's not so nice, but actually the Georgia Dome is very nice. It's hard to believe they're going to implode it for parking. But, yeah, a lot of people are going to miss it, and it'd be nice to have, you know, this is going to be the biggest game ever in Atlanta. I mean, we were in the NFC Championship a couple of times, the big one being in Minnesota when we went to the Super Bowl way back in 98. But this will be the biggest game ever in the Dome.
Okay, for the Falcons, you mean?
For the Falcons, right.
You know, it's a shame that they have to, what has it been there, 20 years, and then they have to blow up a building? And...
Oh, it's been there almost 30, right, Dan?
Yes, that's right. I think it was 92 or when they opened it. You know, you have so many stadiums that are way older than that are still in existence, and it's hard to believe it's going to be gone.
The veritable Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra.
Well, Lambeau Field's been there since 1956, but you have a lot of renovations that have happened there, and they've added a lot of seats over the years. So still a nice stadium, over 70,000 people, and people come from all over the world, even during the off season, just to tour Lambeau Field. That's what's cool about that. But I agree with you, Dan. I thought the Georgia Dome was a great place to catch a game, and it is for only 25 years old. Usually they last 30-plus years before they implode them, but I guess they wanted a new one, and they wanted it now, right?
Well, it was Arthur Blank's decision. I mean, and if you're a city and you can get a $1.5 billion stadium for $200 million, that's pretty cheap. And I would do the same thing if I got something like that for that kind of money, because the original Atlanta Stadium was built for $166 million in today's dollars. So for not much more money, you're going to get quite a spectacle.
All right, I believe it will be. And I like your owner, Arthur Blank. He's not one of these meddlers like Jerry Jones and, you know, some of the other, Dan Snyder. He seems to let his folks that are football knowledgeable run the show. Do you agree with me there? Or I would imagine people like him down there.
Yeah, he finally got the right guys in place. They literally had like five general managers last year, and they finally got some good picks. And I do like Arthur Blank. He does not meddle. And it's so funny, in the press room, it is so crowded in there, and I hope it's going to be bigger in the next stadium. But he will slide by as we're all kind of huddled around the speaker trying to get our audio, and he slides by me, and I'm like, I just wish $1 million would rub off him onto me. But it seems like every game that seems to happen. But he's a nice guy. He doesn't like tell you to move or get out of the way. And I've seen people do that, but he's not like that at all.
Well, that's why you got to have Dave with you. He'd find a way to relieve him of a few million.
Okay. So see there again, Josh. Here's another lesson. Don't attempt humor. If it's not funny, just stay away from it. You're just going to derail the segment, okay? Dan Lynn with us from Atlanta. He's going to be covering the game this weekend for SRN Broadcasting. He's worked for a variety of outlets there, covering games, SiriusXM Satellite, Fox Sports Radio, this week SRN Broadcasting. Also with us, Josh Sclair, our intern from Chicago. Josh, fire away one more. Let's send one to Dan from you.
If you had to get one thing about Atlanta that I am noticing is something that definitely is going to be a big impact is the fact that they are one of the best teams at getting that ball downfield with, I believe it was 17 plays of 40-plus yards. And against a team like Green Bay with a very poor secondary, do you think that's going to be one of the main factors going into this, is their ability to make those big plays?
Oh, there's no doubt. Matt Ryan is very good about finding the weak DB and picking on him. Matter of fact, they went after Sherman in the last game, and that surprised me. They weren't happy with the last time out when the pass interference call was missed at the end of the game, but then they said Julio was beating up on Sherman at the beginning, although you do have 5 yards. I think Matt's going to do a good job with that like he has all year. I mean, he set an NFL record by throwing a touchdown to 13 different receivers, which is quite amazing. And he also threw a touchdown to 10 different receivers. I'm sorry, two touchdowns to 10 different receivers.
Okay, Dan, is a Packers secondary really that bad, Josh? I mean, you know, Clinton Dix, he's a
bottom five in the league. It's bottom 10 in the league.
He's a pro. Okay, well, now their safeties, though, are good. You got to give me that.
Yes, their safeties are very good. I would agree with that.
Morgan Burnett and Clinton Dix. Okay.
There's a guy named Haha.
Yeah.
You didn't know that, Steve? See, again, Josh, again, and I don't know something. Don't let the whole world know that you don't know it. Last week we talked about Roger Staubach on the show. That's when I said they were America's team when they had him, not so much in the Jerry Jones era. But you got a Roger Staubach story.
Oh, I sure do. And let's see. When I was a small market TV sportscaster in Montgomery, Alabama, he came through on some kind of tour, and I got a call that he was in town. I got him for a one-on-one interview. As we're about to do the interview, my videographer had trouble with the crummy equipment that we had, so it took him a while to get his act together there. And so I made a mistake and tried to make small talk with Roger. Big mistake, because I told him I grew up a Falcons fan, and you'd think I'd shot somebody's mother. He said that Atlanta ruined or made him retire and ruined his career, and I had no clue that happened. I remember the hit by Robert Pennywell in 1979 that knocked him out of the game, and that was it. That was he was unconscious, and I told this story on Facebook, and again, once again, everybody thought I was wrong, even though Roger told me that. But I looked it up, and it turns out he had 6 knockout concussions, and his doctor told him if he had one more like that, it would alter his life. And so for some reason, he played another year, and he retired in 1980. But again, I felt so horrible during that interview, and it didn't go too well because we didn't have the internet back then. Couldn't look up information as quick as you can now. And I did look it up all that information recently because everybody told me I was wrong, and I knew I wasn't because Roger told me that fact. But then I got the details that he literally had 20 concussions.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate you coming on the program. Good luck there in Atlanta covering the game. Of course, I hope Green Bay wins, but I understand your feeling there. You need a championship in Atlanta. I hope you get one. I just hope it's not this year.
Understand.
All right, Dan. Well, thanks, and you have a great day. And everybody hang on. We'll have Jeff Rich from the Sports Byline USA Network joining us next right here on the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal and intern Josh Sklar here on the program.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081. You know, sometimes when you compare prices on products, you think to yourself, what difference does it make? The rates are all about the same anyway. But sometimes the rates are very different. Let me give you an example where there's a huge difference in pricing between companies. Vehicle protection plans. Look, if your car is 4 years or older, having a vehicle protection plan is a no-brainer. The trick is not to overpay for it. Here are the facts. The average price of a vehicle protection plan is $2,800, while the price of a Toco warranty vehicle protection plan for most vehicles is just $1,500. The average down payment on a vehicle protection plan is $299. With Toco warranty, there's no down payment. The average monthly payment on a vehicle protection plan is more than $160 a month. With Toco, the average monthly payment is just $49. To get a highly rated vehicle protection plan at a great low rate, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick. One quick message for you, Packer Dave. It's really, really brief and to the point. You're in fuego.
That's right. We're in fuego here on the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting and intern Josh Sclair. Josh, how's it going so far?
It's going great.
All right. Are you having any fun at all? I mean, you seem
I'm
like
I'm having a great time.
Yeah? Okay. Anything else to add on the segment we just had with Dan Lynn at all?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I don't think that was the answer he was looking for.
He's got a ways to go, Steve. He's got a ways to go.
We're working on him. He's a work in progress.
Yeah, come on.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, from the Sports Byline USA Network, a real professional in his own right, we bring in Jeff Rich. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit, but I'm doing very well.
Any tips right now for our intern from DePaul University, Josh Sclair? And by the way, I made a mistake going out into the break in the last segment. I said Sklar, and I was wrong. And I've had this mental block with Josh's name last few months. But Josh Sclair, any pointers for Josh Sclair? Because it wasn't so long ago that you were kind of new at this yourself.
Oh, well, if you're working with Steve and Dave, put on your best running shoes and just run as far as you can in the other direction.
Yeah, the bar isn't too high in this program.
Okay. Wanted to ask you about your thoughts on the Raiders probably moving to Las Vegas. What do you think of that?
I think it's a cool thing. I'm not speaking for the people in Oakland, obviously. I went through the relocation myself with, growing up in Cleveland with the Browns departing for Baltimore in 1995. And that's one of those scabs that doesn't heal. Oakland has not had the Raiders for too long a period of time. Some of the younger fans might only know them as the Oakland Raiders, but growth for professional sports in Las Vegas is big. I think that we're kind of expanding into the desert. It was kind of like Phoenix was all by themselves out here, between the Pacific Ocean and Texas. And, in the last 20 or 30 years, we've added a lot of professional franchises in Arizona, Colorado. The Utah Jazz have been around for a while, but I think it's a good thing. And let's see if Las Vegas will actually support the team or if it's just going to be a, kind of a transplant, transplants filling up the arena and people traveling to see the visiting team like we had in Arizona, at least with the Cardinals and the Coyotes for such a long time.
I think it'll be great for Las Vegas. I think they'll fill the stadium, and I think you'll see a lot of Raiders fans coming there anyway. You know, they're kind of a Western team, you know. In Las Vegas, it pretty much borders California pretty close anyway. And so I don't think it's going to...
You're splitting the difference between the Northern California and the Southern California fan bases, and you're not putting a team in like Fresno or Bakersfield or anywhere in the land that God forgot in between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
Barstow.
Barstow's tough.
Boy, Barstow, you might as well be in Vegas if you're in Barstow, though. Hanging out with Sheryl Crow.
I like the move to Las Vegas. I think it's going to be a good fan base for them out there, and I think they'll play there for a long time. And you're right, they've got a hockey team now, pro hockey team. Now they got pro football.
I think hockey's going to be a tougher sell. I think the Raiders are going to be easy. I think hockey's going to struggle if that team's not good.
I mean, that's a lot. That's 41 dates to fill at a hockey arena versus 8 in the football stadium. And if you're from Buffalo, New England, all this, and they're playing the Raiders, they're going to come to Vegas for the weekend. That's what's not to love about that.
But same thing, though, with hockey in Arizona. You have all these people that are coming to see the opposing team. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in Las Vegas, too, because everybody's in town and it will become an event. I think both are going to succeed in Las Vegas.
Have you seen that T-Mobile Arena there in Las Vegas? You know, apparently it's located really well. I haven't been up to Vegas in some time.
Yes, I have been to the T-Mobile Arena. It's right on the Strip. It's between New York and the Monte Carlo. It's we walk there from Planet Hollywood. I mean, that's the one thing. It'll probably do a lot better than your Glendale Ice Arena, which is, you know, an hour from anything. So, you know,
they still do all right though there, Steve. I mean, you know,
no,
I mean, they don't do great,
do
but
no,
they don't.
No, they don't. I'm a big Coyotes fan, and I'll be the first to tell you, I'm anticipating this move to Tempe or wherever they come to the East Valley, just to see if we can get some butts in the seats and, you know, maybe even some butts that are rooting for the home team.
And nothing against John Poulter and the NHL, but it does not. I mean, look, NFL, NHL, that's two different orders of magnitude in terms of popularity. And hockey's great. It's a wonderful sport, but it's not going to draw like the NFL. It's only a 65,000 seat stadium too, right? So you're not going to be that hard to fill.
Seems like there are people when I went to hockey games in Glendale. I guess I was wrong. I was wrong on this twice.
It's a different atmosphere for you.
Don't count the beer factor, Dave. Come on.
I went with what did you say, Jeff?
You went with a group of Canadians to a hockey game. That's an X factor that really can't be compensated for. So, you know, you have a different experience because of the different atmosphere that you breathe there.
I rooted for the Coyotes, though, and I know one of their players is, Shane Doan. Outside of that, I couldn't tell you anything.
Yeah, he's a Coyote for now. You guys wanted to talk football today, right?
I photobombed with the actual Coyote with his drum up there too. I have pictures. Pretty cool. Okay. Jeff Rich with
that
us from
Coyote's the never been the same since.
Thanks for interrupting, Steve. Appreciate that. Jeff Rich can be heard at the Sports Byline USA Network at sportsbyline.com Sunday mornings, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time Sunday mornings, sportsbyline.com. One other thing before we get to these playoff games, Jeff. Have you watched the NFL Network and their coverage after games with Deion Sanders lately?
It's been a while.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm an ESPN guy.
He's having like a Lil Wayne on, Ludacris. And
it's great. He's
almost like 50 years old. He's acting like he's a 25-year-old kid. And I don't know.
Hey, has he had Lil Sweet on from the Dr. Pepper commercial?
I don't know who that is, Steve. All right, let's start with the games now, Jeff. We've already pretty much covered the Packers and the Falcons. But before we get into this, let's hear from Julio Jones from the Falcons on the receiving core of the Atlanta Falcons.
I mean, not only with Taylor, man, Ashik Robinson is another speed guy for us. I mean, you can't really cheat the safety to me too much. You know, a lot of teams try to play two man. And if they try to take me and, you know, Gabriel away or Ashik away, you got Sanu down the middle. We just complement each other, and it's been a big part, you know, this year with those guys coming in to help out with the verticals. He always had the talent, you know. You just gotta just coach it up a little bit. And Gabe came in. He's not a guy that thought he knows everything, you know. He's been with Kyle before, you know. He knows the offense. Just little things, just working together, like and understanding. Like I got to be the assist man on this play, and he does a great job for us, though.
Now let's hear from offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan. 49ers are looking at him, but he talks about the process.
The way the NFL makes these rules and the way it is, it actually keeps it. This is my first time going through it, but now seeing how the rules are, I see why it is this way. It makes it pretty easy for us. You know, you're only allowed to talk to teams when you do have a bye week. Got that opportunity a couple weeks ago. Regardless of what happens in this game, win or lose, you can talk to them again when your season's over or if you get another bye week. So I know I think I'll get that opportunity next week, whatever happens, and I plan on doing that. But besides that, the NFL keeps it pretty simple for you because you're not really allowed to talk. You can't really go there one way or another. So I'm looking forward to having those conversations next week. But really, until then, I really don't have much else for you guys. It makes it very easy to focus on the thing that's most important, and that's Sunday.
And quarterback Matt Ryan on playing against Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I don't specifically have to go out on the field and defend Aaron, which is a good thing for us. But, you know, it's fun. I've played against him a number of times, and I've gotten to know him throughout the years. And He's a good friend, and I respect him so much because he's such a great competitor. Regardless of the situation, he goes out there and he competes hard and plays really well week in and week out. And he's had an unbelievable year. But for me, you know, I think, you know, once we get into it, it's about, you know, trying to do the best we can against their defense and, you know, focusing on how well we can play. And at the end of the day, that's where my focus will be at on Sunday.
Okay, Jeff, your quick take on the Packers-Falcons. We'll move on to the other games.
Nobody's paid attention to the Falcons. I think that they're the quiet storm. I think that playing at home proves to be a pretty big advantage. I think a lot of the Packers' hopes hinge on number 87 being on the field, and I know that I said that about the Dallas Cowboys game, but I mean, that game was a coin flip. The team that had the ball last was going to win, and that's exactly how it turned out to be. So I'm not underestimating Atlanta. I think that they've got good balance. I don't think that it's all Matt Ryan. I think that they run the ball really well, and I credit Kyle Shanahan for a lot of that. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, knows the Seahawks' strength, and you have to admit that the strength of the Seahawks, their defense, hasn't been quite what it was when Dan Quinn was their defensive coordinator. So I look for the game to be won cerebrally rather than physically, and I think that these two teams match up pretty evenly. I'd give a nod to the Falcons defense over the Packers defense, but they've stepped up. I mean, I can't even remember the last game that the Green Bay Packers lost.
Okay, now the Patriots and the Steelers, another good one in New England for the AFC Championship game. Let's hear from Tom Brady talking about the Pittsburgh defense.
I mean, they've been dominant, so very good in the secondary, dependable, very good against the run. I mean, the linebackers are some of the best in the league. Big front, very physical, very mentally tough team, well coached, great scheme, pressure the quarterback. So they're doing a lot of things well. They've been great. I mean, they've been great. Just rushing a quarterback, making plays for their team, strip sacks, forced interceptions, a lot of big plays. They've been exceptional. So they got some really great players on the other side of the ball, and you know, really at all levels of the defense. And it's a big challenge for us. So
Julian Edelman comments on the defense, particularly linebacker James Harrison.
It really looks like they've come into their own. They're playing as a unit pretty darn well, probably the best we've seen this year. You know, they're fast, they're athletic. They got they're young, but they also have veterans in key spots to help them know the game a little more. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a huge test. And, you know, we definitely got to take advantage of these next few days to really hone down our skills for it. I mean, James Harrison, fellow Flash, he's an unbelievable stud. The guy's been doing it consistently for a long time. And, you know, I've been a huge fan of him before I got in the league, and just to see and kind of have an idea where he came from, it's unbelievable to show how hard he's worked to get to where he's got. And he's a large man that's fast, explosive, and if he's coming my way, you know, it's going to be a get down.
All right, Jeff, the Steelers and the Patriots. I like the toughness of the Steelers, and they're always in every game, especially this time of the year. But I see the Patriots winning this game. What do you say?
You know, I keep waiting for the clock to strike midnight on the New England Patriots. They obviously lack the weapons that they've had in the past. Not that they've ever been a really superstar-driven team outside of number 12 there. I think that the Steelers are going to be a little more honest on defense. I know the Texans were rated higher, but I think the Steelers playing in January, they're going to be a little tougher of a test for the New England Patriots than the Houston Texans were. I thought the Chiefs would go to the Super Bowl. They couldn't beat the Steelers, but that was another one of those coin flip games. And I like the Steelers here. I think that they just have a lot of dynamic to their offense, which is going to give the Patriots defense some fits. I mean, you get rid of Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins in one offseason / season. There's going to be some sacrifices, and I think that that sacrifice means that the AFC Championship, despite the fact that they're playing at home, that might be their ceiling. So I like the Steelers in a close one in that one.
Well, I do like what Jeff said in the sense of offense, the offense that Houston doesn't have, the Steelers do possess. But, I mean, look what New England did. I have to disagree with you. I think this is the magic finally runs out for the Steelers, and New England is going to go to the Super Bowl again.
Well, the Browns fan in me hopes you're right, Steve.
Josh Sclair, your thoughts?
One thing I wanted to, I really feel was a big factor, was Tom Brady playing the number one defense last week. But to me, I think the loss of someone like Rob Gronkowski, I think, is really going to play a major factor, especially against going forward. Do you think that not having him, because of the lack of weapons that they have, that's going to be a bit of a problem, especially against a team like the Steelers, who are going to be able to throw the ball downfield? They have a lot of downfield weapons and can keep up scoring-wise with a team like New England.
I think that's a big problem. I mean, obviously, number 87 is kind of the heart and soul of that offense among the skill players that aren't the quarterback. You know, New England's found ways to do that next man up thing. I think that there's a lot of similarities between the former 49ers coach Chip Kelly and Belichick. The use of the tight ends in the offense is obviously huge, and when you're without the best in the game, you know, that's going to say something. And I think that contributes a little bit to why I believe that the Steelers are going to give New England fits when they have the ball.
All right, let's hear from Pittsburgh running back Le'Veon Bell. He thinks they need to run more than they did in their previous meeting this year. And here's Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh.
They play real well up front. Obviously, they pride themselves on stopping the run. And, you know, I think it's a little circumstance of us not getting enough totes, too. I think, you know, last time we played them, we weren't as aggressive as running the ball, as good as running the ball as we are now. So it should be an interesting game. I'm going against those guys again. You know, I feel like, you know, we've been running the ball well. So, you know, obviously, you know, if I'm getting the ball, you know, I carried the ball 30 times last game. There's no need to really throw it to me six more times for like 36 touches. You know, I think my coaches were doing a good job of, you know, utilizing me in different situations. I feel like, you know, we've been leaning more on the run. You know, I think times where we lean more towards the pass, I may be more involved, but I think the coach will be doing a good job of utilizing me.
And Mike Tomlin comments that he has respect for the Patriots.
The journey that is a season is going to have some ups and downs, and how you respond to it individually and collectively oftentimes determine our fate. And the guys have done a really good job of absorbing and learning and pressing forward. And so I've been pleased with that. You know, they need no endorsement from me. They've got the hardware that speaks to that, and got a lot of respect for that. That's why we all do this. We go through our normal processes, but, you know, the reality of the moments are the reality of the moments. I imagine that the guys are inspired and natural human responses to circumstances, but it doesn't change our approach or our processes by which we prepare.
Another thing, Jeff. The Packers in 2008 under Aaron Rodgers blow overtime against the Cardinals. In 2014, after these seasons, they blow the NFC Championship game against the Seahawks. That wasn't his fault. Mason Crosby was incredible, but the Packers lose in overtime there. Last year in Arizona in the divisional round, they lose in overtime to the Cardinals. I am on edge. You know, I mean, that was bad enough last week, but we can't have another one of these colossal overtime losses, or it's just going to break the Packer fan psyche. Comment on that before you head out of here.
Well, you didn't even bring up 2007 when everybody was gunning for the Brett Favre-led Packers to take on Tom Brady and the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl there. That was actually right down the street here in Glendale. I would think the Packers fans would be numb after that interception and Lawrence Tyne sends the Giants to the Super Bowl. But, yeah, you're right. There's been a lot of disappointment for the Green Bay Packers. But I will remind you that you won a Super Bowl, like 6 years ago? Coming from a fan of a team that's never even played in the game, I really don't have any sympathy for you.
Yeah, for our sake, I do hope the Packers do not. Dave gets inconsolable and is insufferable when the Packers lose. It takes him top 2, 3, 4 weeks to recover. So otherwise, the show is going to really be bad.
As opposed to the rosy sunshine I otherwise bring to your life, Steve. Okay, you know, Jeff, it's going to be a good one. Packers have been in 4 of the last 10 NFC Championship games. So, you know, I was a fan.
There's a little bit of parity on the NFC side, though. I mean, when you look at the AFC representative in the Super Bowl, the starting quarterback, I'm sure that at least one of you has seen the meme with, you know, where it's Brady, Ben, Manning, you know, Brady, and, you know, the one with a little bit of Flacco squeezed in between. So we're not going to get any parity from the AFC this year. We could get a first-time starter in Matt Ryan, and Aaron Rodgers could go for number 2 here. You know, it's not the championship belt season. It's a new event. You know, obviously that was quite a while ago. There's been quite a bit of turnover, but a lot of the main players are still there.
Now, the meme that I saw was the one with said the Pittsburgh Steelers' new groundskeeper, and it was Bill Belichick with a baseball cap on and a shirt up, and, you know, in disguise.
I've seen
okay, that. With that,
I've
seen, with
I'm,
that.
A, I'm a Belichick fan. You know, I'm a Belichick fan because, like, you know, he's among those that got a raw deal from Art Modell, you know, while the Browns were transitioning down to the Mid-Atlantic.
All right, it's been fun, Jeff. You have a great week. I'm going to listen to you on the Sports Byline Network Sunday morning. Leading,
we're
going
to have a great show this
Sunday.
We're going to have a great show as we preview the NFC, you know, both conference championship games. Maybe get into a little bit of basketball, you know, some other things. You know, we go all around the world of sports on Sports Byline there on Sunday mornings.
Hey, Jeff, I'm going to be at the Tilted Kilt in Tempe if you're looking to, you know, join some Packer fans.
Basketball, Russell Westbrook, not an all-star starter. How does that happen?
Because democracy can get crazy sometimes with the way that we vote, and
no kidding.
You know, as our nation experiences change, I think that we've seen that firsthand, both in and out of the sports arena.
Okay, Jeff, thanks a lot for being on. And now we bring in our professor of sports from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He is John Poulter. John, welcome to the Sports Report today. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks, guys. How about the two of you?
Doing just fine, Steve. Say hello to John.
Hello to John.
Okay,
hello,
and John,
Steve.
We've got intern from DePaul University, Josh Sclair, with us on the program.
Hey, you got
say
it right.
Say hello to John. Josh,
how you doing, John?
I'm doing well, thanks, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing great. Big shout out to Canada. Gotta love Toronto.
Oh, that's okay. A good
you
spot.
You been there?
I have been to Toronto. I went there for a Bulls Raptors game once. It was absolutely fantastic.
Awesome. Okay. And I was just at John's house a couple weeks ago.
I've been to Toronto
and
several
he
times.
He fed me, and we watched Seattle defeat the Lions, which was pretty easy to do. Anyway, so thanks for having me over, John. And now let's start with baseball and some of this Hall of Fame news.
Well, this is always a big announcement in January, and especially the last few years with all this steroid issues. It's nice to see some of the so-called clean players getting in, and Tim Raines, and I guess here I speak as a Canadian and a former Montreal Expo fan, that it was really great to see Tim Raines get in. And he's kind of been on the borderline for a number of years, and you know, one of those guys that, other than Ricky Henderson, was probably the best leadoff hitter of his generation. Certainly a much more subdued individual than Henderson was. Henderson very good at self-promoting Ricky Henderson. But Tim Raines, in his 10th and final year of eligibility on the ballot, deservedly elected to the Hall of Fame. And one thing that I did not realize until I reread the statistics and double-checked the numbers, this is hard to believe, but in terms of an on-base percentage, Tim Raines' on-base percentage was better than that of Willie Mays. And there's nobody on this continent that would say that Willie Mays did not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So great recognition for Raines. Jeff Bagwell, one of those killer bees down in Houston when they were starting to play very well in the 90s. And, of course, Ivan Rodriguez, who in my mind is probably the second best catcher I've ever seen. Nobody will ever hold a candle to Johnny Bench in terms of catching skills from my standpoint, but
not Bob Uecker,
Bench,
not Yogi Berra.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, John. Steve is derailing the show again. So, Steve, what did you say? You know, you can wait till the guy's
talking about catchers in the Hall of Fame. Obviously, not Yogi Berra.
Steve, well. Wait till the people are done talking. Like when I'm talking, just wait till we're done, and then you can comment. No reason to interrupt. Okay. So what's the comment, Bob? What it's attempted humor, right? Bob Uecker,
Yogi Berra. He's in the Hall of Fame, though.
Yogi Berra is in the Hall of Fame, but the point that I was trying to make was that Rodriguez and Bench were the first catchers elected on their first appearance on the ballot. Yogi Berra was not elected on his first appearance. So that's the point I was trying to come across with there.
Okay. And now let's move to hockey, John. Let's start with the Blackhawks.
Well, the Blackhawks have been struggling for a while, and you know we've kind of talked about this a little bit. They got out to a big lead primarily because they'd played a lot more games than everybody else, and I've been saying for a few weeks that those games in hand that the Minnesota Wild have may come back and bite the Blackhawks in the backside, and it certainly has done that. And the Blackhawks sort of compounded their problem a little bit this week with a loss at the United Center to Minnesota. So we're now looking at the Blackhawks as a second-place team in the Central Division, a couple of points behind Minnesota, and having played three more games than Minnesota. So from a Blackhawks standpoint, it's time to get this thing going. I'm not really sure where the problem is. You know, have they played too much hockey? Are some of their stars getting to the point where they're playing a little bit too much over the last few years? Certainly, Corey Crawford has not played as well as we've come to expect him to play over the last couple of seasons. Jonathan Toews is still Jonathan Toews and perhaps still the best two-way player in hockey, but his offensive numbers have gone down a whole bunch this year. And I saw that a couple of reports where Stan Bowman has made it quite clear that one of his main tasks between now and the trade deadline at the end of February is to acquire somebody to play on Toews' left wing and hopefully jumpstart his offense a little bit. So Blackhawks, as we've said before, got a little bit of work to do. Certainly they've got the talent on paper and on the ice to do that, but they can't afford to let Minnesota get too far ahead. And once again, those head-to-head games with the Wild become very important in terms of where the Blackhawks want to finish. You don't really want to finish in second or third place because that ends up with a divisional series. Right now, it looks like that other team would be the St. Louis Blues, and we all know how tough those series with St. Louis are. So time for the Blackhawks to get it going. They've got some time to do it, so let's hope for the best.
Josh, you're in Chicago. Your thoughts on the Blackhawks at this point in the season?
You know, I was at that game when they played Minnesota, and I got to say the one thing that I'm a bit concerned about going forward is I look at a guy like Jonathan Toews. He's only got, I believe, about 21 points this season, especially from a guy who is arguably the best two-way player. But I feel that the one thing I wanted to ask you is, due to the salary cap, this constant need for that first-line player ever since Brandon Saad left, do you think that because of the salary cap now, they have Panarin, they've re-signed, that because of the lack of money that they have to be able to sign that first-line player, that they may just not be able to contend the way they used to?
Excellent. Oh, I think that's a very likely possibility, Josh. And, you know, they've tried to fix that problem the last couple of years with the so-called rental players, and that's cost them a little bit in terms of giving up young players and or draft choices. And certainly the salary cap has become a huge issue, perhaps more so for the Blackhawks than for any other team, because they're the team that has been at the salary cap and they have been winning, whereas a lot of the other teams have kind of been mixing and matching. And they've let an awful lot of young players go. I mean, Teravainen is another guy that comes to mind. Saad, as you mentioned, and not even the superstars. You know, even the inability to re-sign a guy like Oduya, who in my mind, with Chamisson, was one of the best shutdown defensemen. You look at the depth charts on the NHL defensemen over the last few years, and I think a lot of teams would have been happy to have had Chalmerson and Oduya as a number one pair, and in Chicago they were a number two pair behind Seabrook and Keith. So that will just tell you a little bit about the depth that that team has enjoyed over the last few years. And, you know, it's the old story. You got to pay the guys that are producing. And one of the things that Bowman has been very good at and is going to have to continue to get better at is finding these low price guys to come in and be role players with some of those superstars. And I think that is going to hurt the Blackhawks down the road. But Toews' offensive production, you know, I think it's 20 or 21 points, as you mentioned, a long ways behind what we're used to seeing from him. That prorates to about a 40-point season, and we're used to seeing between 60 and 65 out of him. It's hard to measure what he brings to the team because it's not just points. It's everything with Jonathan Toews. To your point, as I've mentioned many times, I believe that Jonathan Toews is the best two-way hockey player in the NHL.
So, John, quick question. When you look at the other conference, you see a perennial favorite out there, the Washington Caps, in, you know, with the most points in the league. And yet when you get to the playoffs, that team seems to choke more than any other team in hockey that I can recall.
Very nice.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Atlanta Braves were in the baseball world in the 90s. You know, every year they'd win the division, and then all they had to show for that was one World Series. I don't really know what the problem is in Washington, whether it's the fact that they've got good offensive players and don't like playing playoff hockey, whether there's that little bit of a pressure on the team, you know, much the same as was always pressure on the Chicago Cubs to do well in the playoffs in baseball until 2016. I'm not sure that the mixing and the matching is correct there, and you know, really Washington has always had a problem defensively, and from that standpoint, that's when playoff hockey starts to get tough in the playoffs. And if you're not a good defensive team, chances are you're ripe for an upset. And I think that's a wall that Washington has run into several times over the last few years. They've even changed coaches, and that doesn't seem to have solved a problem very much. So I think it's more of a defensive issue than anything else.
Okay, John. Well, always good information. Hockey, baseball here on the show. We'll sure do a lot more of it as we get into the baseball season, of course, and spring training coming up. A lot of football the next few weeks, of course, but we'll get into all those things that you know so much about, especially coming up here in the next few months. And, Steve, I apologize. I didn't mean to be mean. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings on this show. Are we okay? Are we okay?
I don't know, Dave. Might take a while to recover. Till next week.
Okay. You sound sad, John. He sounds sad. Josh Sclair.
It happens.
Okay. Josh Sclair, thanks a lot for coming on. You've been somewhat entertaining.
Thank you very much for having me on.
All right. And, Aim John, you have a great week, and you take care.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Take care. We'll chat next week.
All right. So for John Poulter, for intern Josh Sclair, for Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting, for Dan Lynn from Atlanta, who's going to be covering the Packers and the Falcons, I'm Packer Dave, saying thanks a lot for listening. Come back next week. Take care. Go Packers. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get some beers, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. To club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program. time and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731.